The climate crisis is dramatically shaping the work environment for essential workers. Current reports are of a mass casualty event, that over 100 people died from the 115-degree heat we experienced in early July from hyperthermia, a condition of having a body temperature well above normal. As state leaders call Oregon's extreme heat waves and historic wildfires across the West a harbinger of things to come, what can workers do to rise up and fight for worker safety and protection across industries? Today I'm speaking with Anthony Carter, an essential worker on the front lines in Portland. Anthony, you've been working at your job for 6 years. Can you tell us about what it has been like over the last year during the COVID pandemic?
You know, I think like the way it's been for pretty much everybody, it's been stressful. The difference being that whereas a lot of people ended up working from home or not having enough work, we were still going to work and we were able to get outside and, you know, we were still seeing our coworkers. And even if that was the only social contact we had, you know, we had that. As far as my job, in the beginning, it just, once again, it was just more stress and more regulations and nobody knowing what to do. Masks, sanitation, more policies trickling down every day. Those got implemented pretty fast. But I think on the work end of it, because everybody was at home ordering online, like, you know, things that they normally would just go out to get, our workload started going through the roof. And, you know, staffing got a little difficult. More people started, you know, not at my office particularly, but citywide, I heard about people getting too afraid to do their routes and staying at home. And then that created more work for everybody else. And, in my office, a couple people, they contracted COVID or at least had the possibility of contracting it from trace contacting, and so that affected staffing with us. And, you know, at my job, if one person's not there, other people have to do that much more work. So quite frankly, for the past year, up until recently, we've all been pretty burnt out and just feeling like we didn't get a break. You know, like the spring at my job is normally where we get a time to rest and recuperate after the big Christmas push, and that didn't happen this year. And it's like I said, it's been only the last month or two that we've really like gotten back to normal, so to speak, in terms of like our workload.
So what was it like working in 115-degree heat last week and during the historic fires of last fall?
Start with the fires. That was rough. I remember the first day of the smoke started kind of descending on like my route. I remember distinctly realizing my body wasn't getting enough oxygen per breath. And like when I was walking, that was affecting how much power I could exert with my muscles. And then over the next few days, you know, some of my coworkers started talking about like their stinging eyes and I could smell the smoke. And for a few days, I could definitely tell my lungs were working harder. You know, eventually I got some N95 masks just for the forest fire smoke. And that helped for sure. But, you know, we were still out in that. That was not a fun time. I don't want to have to go through that again, but it kind of sounds like we're gearing up to this year. And as far as the 115 degree heat, absolutely not alone in saying nobody should have been out in that. Or if we had to, you know, with my job where we deliver, say, medications, that's a hard call because, you know, it's not my place to talk about what should or shouldn't have happened. I can say it was hard being out there. And as the day went on, you know, I could feel myself getting slower and slower just because the heat was getting to me so much. And I could feel my body going, if you move any faster than this, you're going to fall over. And I could not stay cool for the life of me. And, you know, I had to duck into air-conditioned buildings a couple times. At one point, I was literally, like, dousing myself with ice water. And then after a while, you realize there is, like, literally nowhere to get away from the heat. And that was a hard day.
So your vehicles don't have air conditioning?
They do not.
So you're delivering in 115-degree heat, trying to seek moments of coolness to just get your work done?
Yeah, and you know, for me, it's a little different because unlike most of my coworkers, I've got my route's mostly walking, so I was out in it. But then, you know, you're ambulating and you're raising your own body temperature, but that's part of the demands of my job. And I think just over time, and having been in Portland, you know, for like a lot of people who've been here for even more than a few years, we've gotten used to kind of enjoying those really temperate summers where it's, you know, 80 is like a hot day, and now it's like, you know, 80 seems like air conditioning. And, you know, even when I was working in 93 a few days ago, I was like, this is nothing, you know.
That sounds like a tremendous challenge and something that our local and federal leaders need to address. According to the Department of Labor, hazard pay is additional pay for performing hazardous duty or work involving physical hardship. work duty that causes extreme physical discomfort and distress, which is not adequately alleviated by protective devices, is deemed to impose a physical hardship. The Fair Labor Standards Act does not address the subject of hazard pay, except that it requires hazard pay be included as part of a federal employer's regular rate of pay in computing the employee's overtime pay. So, Anthony, with the increasing workload and climate risks we face in the Pacific Northwest, how has your employer responded or supported workers? Have you received any hazard pay?
With the climate risks, I mean, my job is, it's pretty strict. You show up. You know, the only times we've ever been called off for work is during extreme weather conditions in the winter, where they just realize, especially where my office is, you know, a lot of our routes are really hilly and more people are just going to slide off the road or get stuck. But heat isn't really something, you know, up until that day where we've ever been called back. And that was the first time in my life, you know, granted over a very short career so far, that I've ever been called back because of the heat. And as far as things that are in place, one person was telling me that they'll just make more concessions to get us back to the station earlier. But that's not an official statement. That's just more talking to one employee. And, you know, they give us things to help us deal with the, you know, they remind us to hydrate. Most of us have some kind of like, you know, really heavy duty thermos filled with ice water. I put a few water, bottles of water in a freezer and they bring extra bottles of water. And they give us scarves we can dip in ice water and wrap around our necks or, you know, like put on our head to help keep cool. But after a while, especially when you get into 115 degree heat, once again, there's only so much you can do and only for so long before you're just too hot. And then when you talk about hazard pay, I guess that is out of my employer's control as to decide as whether we get that. That has to be voted in by other governmental bodies that nobody at my job has the as far as I'm aware, has the ability to vote in. Mm-hmm. So, and also to answer your question, no, we have not gotten hazard pay, not for working through the pandemic, forest fires, or for 115 degree heat.
Wow. During the pandemic, hazard pay has been provided to certain essential workers whose jobs duties must be performed on site and therefore may have a higher risk of exposure to COVID from the public or coworkers. So far in California, the California Correctional Peace Officers Association is the only state government union to bargain successfully for pandemic-related hazard pay. California might have more money available to give bonuses to other employees through a $26 billion federal COVID-19 relief package that was passed in March, and that law allows governors to distribute hazard pay bonuses. Some employers have offered hazard pay to employees voluntarily in states like Pennsylvania and Vermont. There are grants available to help employers provide hazard pay to essential workers. In May 2020, the HEROES Act was passed, and it provides the Postal Service with $25 billion for revenue foregone due to the coronavirus pandemic. And in Oregon, nursing home workers with SEIU 503 won a 2.5% incentive for PTO and hazard pay for nursing facility workers. Anthony, what do you think would be the most useful policies, federal, state, or voluntary through employers, to help workers like yourself survive our growing climate risks?
That's a good question. You know, I can't really speak for my employer at all, but I can say I hope this doesn't sound too silly, but I think that the biggest thing is that we don't see employment as, or rather people as basically simply just employment. We have to see them as people that, you know, have lives, have families, and you know, we just need to make sure that everybody can be safe in that kind of heat, in a forest fire. And whether or not we have a job, the thing that matters the most is whether the person gets home safely and in the same condition they got into work in. I think that's the most important thing. If you can somehow turn that into a policy, more power to you.
Yeah, hopefully people not going to work and dying because of the conditions of their work is a key goal here.
Amen.
Hopefully this discussion can open the door to conversations and collective action across unions, sectors, and industries that will support all workers. Thank you so much, Anthony, for sharing your labor story with us today.
Thank you for having me here.